Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Top Gun Maverick, the long-awaited sequel to the 80s classic, came out in cinemas last week. So in preparation for going to see the new Top Gun movie, we watched the original on Saturday.
Hold up well? Or
Are you a big Top Gun fan?
Oh, not huge. I don't mind it. It's a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one that I love.
No.
You know, it's definitely not in my top 10 movies, but, you know, it's pretty good. Like, it has an absolutely banging soundtrack, like Kenny Loggins, you know, Danger Zone.
That's a great, like, there's, you hear that song straight away, you have to think of Top Gun.
Yeah.
Like, when I hear the heaters on, I think of Beverly Hills Cop. Straight away.
Oh, it just gets the blood pumping. Bit of Loggins. And, you know, the first film, you know, in 90 minutes, it produces more cheese than the Bega Cheese Factory does in an entire year. But you still love it. You're like, the shirtless volleyball scene, you're like, yeah, it's ridiculous, but whatever. Do you remember how sweaty everyone is in the original Top Gun? Like, everyone is just drenched in sweat. I'm like, why are they so sweaty in the Navy over there? Like, even inside the air-conditioned comfort of the aircraft carrier, they're just dripping in sweat like they've just come back from a run.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is everyone so sweaty?
I always thought when I saw the original Top Gun, I'm like, why aren't they throwing the pigskin around? I thought it'd be like a gridiron ball or something, like volleyball. I'm like, that's so
random. For the volleyball. That's how they settle their grievances in the US Navy.
All right, cool.
Do you have a favorite part from the original Top Gun?
Probably, it's pretty cheesy. The most iconic bit for me is when he's riding on the motorbike and it's Berlin, Take My Breath.
Really? I love that.
My
favourite is when Maverick always buzzes the tower. Like, at the very start of the movie, him and Goose, they come in to land, and before they land, of course, they request this.
Tower, this is Ghost Rider requesting a flyby.
Negative, Ghost Rider, the pattern is full.
So the guy in charge of the tower is like, well, I've told Maverick he cannot buzz the tower. Yep. Now I'm going to enjoy this scalding hot cup of coffee, assuming that, of course, Maverick will do the right thing.
Yeah, of course he will.
Accept my refusal to buzz the tower.
Goddamn son of a bitch.
And the best thing is, it happens again at the end of the movie. It's the same guy, and just before Maverick comes in for his victory land on the carrier, this guy's like, oh, please refill my coffee mug. You're like, what? Have you not learned anything? And he spills it again. It's so stupid, but I love it. And of course, the sequel, 30 plus years later?
Yeah.
The original came out in 86. This new one's in the cinemas. Here's a little snippet.
Captain Pete Maverick Mitchell. Let me be perfectly blunt. You are not my first choice. You are here at the request of Admiral Kazansky, a.k.a. Iceman. He seems to think that you have something left to offer the Navy. What that is, I can't imagine.
With all due respect, sir, I'm not a teacher. I just want to manage the expectations.
So what are your expectations for Top Gun Maverick? If they're in the clouds, it's time to bring you closer to the hard deck. Because it is good. You know, and you heard John Hamm there. He plays Cyclone, so he's the new guy in charge of the Top Gun program, which Maverick has to come back to, you know, 30-something years later as an instructor this time.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
I'll start with the bad, and that is Maverick himself has just not changed.
No,
he still wears jeans, white T-shirt, and that bomber jacket with all the patches on it and rides the same damn motorcycle. No Berlin this time, though, but it's like, it's 30 years.
Got a grown man.
Surely this character evolves and something. No, he's exactly the same. Still wallowing in misery after what happened to his friend in Goose.
I hope he's still not trying to pick up 20-year-old chicks. That'd be a little bit weirder too.
No. I've got to say, like, Jennifer Connelly is his love interest in this, in this new movie. And, you know, at least they're around the same age. Yeah. But the love story's a big thumbs down. No, because the problem is the love story kind of detracts from the real meat of the story, which is Maverick and the son of Goose, who's played by Miles Teller, who's known as Rooster in the movie. So Maverick and Rooster, you know, Rooster's got a grudge against Maverick because he feels like, you know, his dad died
under his watch.
And kind of blames Maverick a little bit. Yeah. But they don't get enough time to really
try and reach a resolution.
That's one of the bad parts of the movie. And Miles Teller, it's like they've gone, here's the goose wardrobe from the original film, chuck on this white singlet, Hawaiian shirt, grow out your mustache, and play Great Balls of Fire on the piano. He does all that. Oh, he's like God. A carbon copy of Goose. And you're like, he was like 4 when his dad died. Why is he exactly the same as his old man? It just didn't make sense. So that part I didn't really like. But so he did a great job acting. Just yeah.
So it'll be like a Top Gun bingo card, and you just be like,
yeah, we got to have this
from the original.
We got to have that.
Yeah, references.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. So that's the bad side. The good side, though, is the flight scenes.
Yeah.
Holy, you've got to see this one at the movies simply because it's so amazing on the big screen, because you feel like you are in the cockpit with them. And all of the flight scenes were shot in the planes. They didn't do all the CGI. It's like, it's real stuff.
So the $150 million was well spent?
I think so, yeah. Okay. It definitely paid off. Like, you do. You're gripping the armrests at times. If you've got a fear of heights, I don't know how you're going to go with this movie. It feels like you're riding shotgun with Tom and all the rest of them
in
Top Gun Maverick. So is it worth seeing? I would give this 4 dead gooses out of 5. No, wait. 4 buzzers of the tower out of 5.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. Yeah, definitely check it out at the cinemas. If you love Top Gun, this one's probably better than the original.
Ooh.
Definitely when it comes to the flight scenes.
Nice. Okay. So, big call.
Yeah, buzz the tower on that one. Just make sure your coffee cup's empty before you do.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
I think most 21-year-olds this day and age, they're a little bit umming and ahhing unless they've got a straight line straight after, you know, they finish high school going straight to university. It's a bit of a floating sort of period in your life where you're like, I'm still sort of trying to work out what I want to do. I know for me, I think I was a stay-at-home son until I was like in my mid-20s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, before I eventually went, okay, I think it's about time I left these walls, but
I got my ass kicked out of the nest the minute I turned 18. Yeah. I was like, go get a job. Go, yeah. Oh, when I was 17, actually. Yeah. Not even 18.
It's not many 21-year-olds you see that are like, all right, I'm going to go take on the world at 21. That's exactly what Gold Coast 21-year-old Xavier Dua is trying to do. He's planning on smashing 3 sailing world records to circumnavigate Australia.
Really?
At the age of 21.
What are the 3 records?
Basically, the youngest and the smallest vessel and the fastest time to circumnavigate Australia. So
is he doing it in a tinny? Or?
Just about. I don't think this thing's much bigger. Have a listen to how it all went down.
A marathon mission that'll be far from smooth sailing.
I'm worrying about crocodiles. I'm worrying about pirates.
Around the country in 50 days. 21-year-old Xavier Dua is aiming to knock 8 days off fellow Queenslander Lisa Blair's 2018 record.
If anyone can do it, he can do it. He's been working harder than anyone I've ever known.
Yeah, that's Xavier's mum, Caitlin, who's got all the faith in the world in this guy.
Sounds like
so it. He's a bit of a go-getter.
What is he talking about pirates, though? We don't have pirates.
Have you seen too many movies?
About? Yeah.
Pirates around Australia?
Came off the back of a Pirates of the Caribbean marathon. He's like, or maybe what's that movie with Tom Hanks? Or he's like,
oh, Castaway.
Yeah, no, not Castaway.
Hopefully it doesn't end up like that.
Is he worried pirates are going to come onto his tiny little boat? Go, aim to captain now. Mate, there's only 2 of us who can fit on here.
Yeah.
So,
what are you expecting to get? I've got a chamber pot over there. I've got some dried fruit or something. But obviously something like this is going to be plenty of challenges. And it looks like for him, one of the biggest challenges is going to be around Western Australia.
I could expect up to 7 metre seas down there and 70 knots of wind, which would be enough to tear the boat apart.
Before hopefully arriving back home in mid-July.
Yeah. Also around WA, you're probably going to have Mark McGowan there going, yeah, you just keep on rowing, buddy. Get out of here.
Yeah, don't even think about setting foot on shore.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what happens, like, I know if you're on a long car trip, you generally have, like, NRMA or other roadside assistance. What do you have if you're in a boat? Is it just a marine rescue or something? Is it? There's no...
Just buzzing around and seeing who's out there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd be a bit of a scary situation, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And as you would imagine, you know, like a small boat that he's got, living conditions, you know, it's not like there's only room for one person, barely enough room for one person on there. So, you know, what's the living conditions exactly like on the boat?
Without a first mate to keep watch, the solo sailor will sleep in 15-minute intervals. But the yacht's too small for a bed, so he'll nap on the deck.
I'll be eating freeze-dried food the whole time. Very little freeze-dried food, so I'm expected to lose about 20 kilos on the trip.
Jeez.
So maybe he might be like a spokesperson for Jenny Craig or something when he gets off there. Once again.
Well, the man shake.
Yeah.
He should
pirates.
Have some man shakes with him.
Disappointed if they try and raid him. They're like, there's a couple of berries I've got here.
Yeah, well, there's nowhere to stand on the boat. What are they going to do? He doesn't even have a poop deck. He's going to have to go over the side.
Yeah.
I know nothing about sailing. I assume a poop deck is literally what sounds like.
Yeah.
That's why they're always swabbing the deck. That's your punishment.
Messy.
Swab the deck. The poop deck, you know it. That's the one that needs to be swabbed the most.
Maybe sponsorship for spray and wipe by the end of it. We'll see how that one works out. But yeah, as I mentioned, a record for the youngest, the smallest vessel in the fastest time. So we should be ticking off all those boxes as well. You're thinking about mum. Is mum a bit worried about it? Well, she's like, yeah, he'll probably tick this off and then I don't think he's going to be finished.
I know my son, and I know that it's just going to be a matter of time before he tells me about the next big thing he's going to be doing, so I'm not comforted by the fact that he'll be back.
He's like, yeah, right. Stay out longer. If he comes back, he's going to get more ideas about going out again. So most 21-year-olds, they're sort of hanging around the nest, and this 21-year-old, Xavier Dewar, he's got the last name for it, as we mentioned. He'll be getting out in record time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Wedding up in Queensland a little time ago involving 24-year-old Madeline Weiss. Obviously, as a new bride, she was trying to figure out, you know, something old, something new, something borrowed. But then it became something ew. because when Madeline got married to her husband, Jaden, they were out on the dance floor and all of a sudden guests noticed that there was a stream of blood pouring out from underneath Madeline's dress.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she went from being a Cinderella to being Uma Thurman and Kill Bill all of a sudden. There's blood everywhere.
Okay.
And you're thinking, what's happened here? Is her garter on too tight, maybe? I know I had that problem at my wedding. My garter was on way too tight. What? And Madeline was a little worried. Obviously, your first thought is her period has come, you know, due to the stress of planning a wedding. Mm. But no, her mother-in-law popped her skirt up. Obviously, they left the dance floor.
Here we go.
The mother-in-law lifted the skirt, and underneath Madeline's dress, they saw what was really going on. There were three leeches attached to Madeline.
Where do they live, out bush or something?
Well, you know, this is the thing. They went and did the photos out like in this, where was it? It was this long, sludgy grass. It had been a whole bunch of rain around just before they got married.
Mm.
And the photographer took them out into a field of what Madeline describes as long, sludgy grass to capture their gorgeous wedding photos. And during that time, three leeches managed to get onto Madeline's legs. And like normally when you're preparing for a wedding, the leeches that you're having to deal with are wedding planners, the photographers, the
mother-in-law,
DJ, the venue. They're all trying to leech the money out of you. Yeah. But in this instance, real blood-engorged leeches.
I don't know if I picture beautiful, timeless wedding photos being in horrible, sludgy bushland. How does that...
Oh, you know, you can make anything look pretty good. Wedding photographers are pretty damn amazing.
They're creative,
aren't they? Yeah, like when we got married, like there was like this, there was a section of bush. We had kind of an outdoor wedding.
Yeah.
But there was like all these like little... Because we got married at a resort, sort of. Yeah. There was an area in this resort. So you kind of had to frame out all the other parts of it. So it looks like we're out in like this rainforest. It looks beautiful, but we know like just out of shot, there's like a footpath and there's people
screaming
everywhere.
Kids.
Yeah. Yep. So Madeline says, I love how she goes, there was one underneath my foot, one in the armpit of my knee.
Which
makes me think how come is the arm is the only pit? You call that your knee pit, I guess. Yeah. And she says, there was another one crawling up my leg. She says, the really, really fat one was the one that was in my knee pit. It would have been there for like 3 hours. So poor Madeline's like, I think this champagne's going to my head. And it's like, oh, no, that's just blood loss. That's why I'm feeling woozy. She says, these leeches were literally on me through the whole reception, through dinner, and even through the speeches. There were leeches during the speeches.
Oh, can't write that.
And luckily, the wedding photographer came to the rescue, managed to dab out all of the blood stains on Madeline's dress with a sponge and a mixture of water and bicarbonate soda.
Nice.
So she was able to go on with the rest of the night. She's okay, but the leeches really don't drain that much blood, but still, you know. So, it all played out okay in the end, the rest of the wedding. And, her and husband Jaden now are very happy, obviously looking to start a family, and that's where they'll be dealing with leeches for the next 18 years when they have those kids.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.